influential are really words. They say, you know, we should always be careful what we say and think before you speak. And in this world today, profanity is used so commonly. Like, it is just, people even say it just as a joke. And sometimes I wonder, what's the harm of using it when everyone else uses it?
Because words, every words are influential.
Yeah, but I heard like words aren't influential. Like there was actually recently a news article where it was talking about words have the power to heal suffering hearts and validate lives. So even when people were like, oh, they, of course they didn't believe it, but they would just say, oh, you're gonna get better, don't worry. Oh, you're doing great, you look better, and they actually ended up getting better. And so words are influential, but then it's like, how influential are they? Like, to what extent?
Well, for one thing that we know is that if we curse at someone, or if we keep saying bad, like you're ugly, or you're bad, and you're, you know, not smart, you're stupid, and stuff like that, then, you know, of course that person's feelings gets down, and they get hurt, and, like, if you say some good things to other person, then their feelings get, you know, good. So, like, the influential-wise, one thing that it does is that it could make us feel good or bad, even to the point, like, how it could make that person later on. So, yeah.
You know, when I saw that news article, just looking at the headlines, it reminded me of, you know, doctors give placebos. You know what a placebo pill is?
Mm-mm.
It's a sugar pill. It does absolutely nothing to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people come to the doctor's office and say, doctor, I'm suffering this kind of pain. And they really are. They're really suffering from it. But then the doctors may, after analyzing a little bit, may come to a conclusion that it's all in their mind. And so what they do is they give them a placebo pill and say, okay, you need to take this every single day, and give them specific instructions. They think it's a real pill, and they will take it, and eventually they'll get better. Because of the way that they are thinking, they're thinking that, yeah, it's this pill that's actually making me better. But no, it's actually what is going inside of their minds. But, you know, Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we actually speak actually tells what is taking place inside of us. And so ultimately, I don't think it's necessarily only the root of it is even what we even speak, but I think it may be even what is ultimately on the inside as well.
Yeah. So I think one thing, like you asked, you know, it's so commonly used, so why does it matter if, like, we use a profanity or not? Because if we go to James chapter 3 and 6, James chapter 3 and 6. 3:37. Okay, James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members, that it defile the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So it seems as that, you know, like, if whatever you speak, whatever comes out of your tongue, like, it can defile your whole body. So I think whatever we say, even just a word, we really need to be careful what we say. Because for young people, like, I guess nowadays we call it lingos, the language. Is it? Like, we call it language, but they call it, like, lingos. Like, they're saying, like, oh, you know, watch your lingos, or, like, you know,
Never like, heard that.
Yeah,
lingos.
Where do you guys come from? Anyways, yeah, you guys are uncool, that's why.
That's influential.
Uncool.
But I think really, it's not just like these specific words you say, but also it's also the tone you say it in. Like, you know, I could you look at you and be like, oh, you look very nice today. But then with a tone like that, it doesn't really seem
what
like it.
What if it's like this? You are so ugly today, Michelle.
Okay. Yeah, the tone you really
made her laugh.
The tone really does say something too. Like also, I remember that there was one person who was on the Golden Gate Bridge, and Golden Gate Bridge is where most suicides are committed. And this guy was, he thought he hit rock bottom, and he was like, you know what? If there's just one person who says good morning to me with a smile on their face, then I will not commit suicide.
San Francisco?
Yeah. And he was walking on the bridge, and a person passed by, nothing. And then like 10 people passed by and still nothing. And then he's like, you know what? Okay, this is it. My life's over. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And right when he's about to, there was a guy who was, he was a homeless person, and he was very dirty. And it was kind of, you got the impression where you didn't want to talk to that person. But then that person, while walking by, had a big bright smile and said, good morning. And because of that just that tone, it wasn't really, he wasn't really looking for the just good morning or acknowledgement of his presence there, but it was more of the smile he was looking for. And when he saw that, he was like, oh, there are people who are like this. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't commit suicide that day. Mm-hmm. And if we go to Philippians 2:14. Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So, you know, we shouldn't complain about what we do. And, you know, even if you say like, oh, I'm so happy, I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. But then you're like murmuring and you're like, your tone isn't the brightest or the most applicable at the time, then, you know, it's
like,
not good.
I think for us, like, you know, our parents, they tell you to do something. You're like, yes, I'll do it, you know. But then it's not really the positive voice that you have or something. So, like, my mom always says, there was not even one time where you always just said, yes, mom, I'll do it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like she's like, why aren't you not positive and nags and stuff like that? You know, parents always say that. And then even just on the phone, why can't you answer your phone brightly and, you know, and whatever? Because it's mom, you know? our tones, like, really know. Like, I've examined, like, our whole family, and when we especially talk to our moms, it's like the same tone we always have.
I know, yeah, like, I know my mom would call me, and then she'll say, like, oh, you know, I think you should do this, and I'm like, no, I don't think I should do that, I think I should do this, and she's like, I am your mother, I've been through that experience, why can't you just say, like, Nair, I guess, me, like, yes, okay, I'll do it, and then she would always say that often, but yeah. You know, I think because we're so comfortable with them, sometimes we're like,
I find myself murmuring a lot of times. I find myself like just saying no, or like, you know, just like going in the corner and be like, oh, why do I have to do this, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like Paul right here is like, you know, before what he talks about is like in chapter 2 in generally, like he talks about kind of like gives a brief explanation of the life of Jesus Christ, you know, says, and like, let me remind you, this was a life of Jesus Christ, death of cross and blah, blah, blah. And then he says like, so, you know, beloved, you guys, when you work and when you do this ministries and when you do God's work, do not, I think what he was saying, like, do not murmur, do not think that, like, you know, this is, like, hard work or anything. Do it in a, you know, happy mood and, you know, that you're really working for Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what he was eventually saying. So I think, like, whatever we do, like you said, tone is very important. So if we do have a little positive tone in whatever we do, and you know, like, even our mind, we get to believe that, you know, so, like you said at first, like, words are influential.
That was actually what I was gonna say in the next part. We think that when we cut somebody out, it's actually doing damage to the other person. But then I think of the Old Testament scriptures that says that you shouldn't cut out a deaf man. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why would you not cut, why would it be?
Matter? Why doesn't
yeah,
it matter?
Yeah, why would it even matter? He can't even hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But then ultimately, the deaf man might not get any injury, but then who actually is? It's the person who's actually saying it.
Because you're hearing yeah. and you're cursing.
And it's actually when we murmur, when we what we speak, mm-hmm. it either has an influence for good or influence for evil on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The side effects just happens to be evil influence to others who actually receive it.
And you know, there's even like sometimes, you know, it kind of scares me how sometimes I would say something so many times that I actually really believe in it,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not true.
Mm.
And sometimes, or even if my friends say something like, oh, let's say, like, oh, that dog is really cute. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think it's cute, but because she kept saying it, I start to get mm-hmm. influenced, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that dog is really cute.
You've heard of self-fulfilling prophecies. Like, two people might not be interested at all. But then somebody actually mentions it and say, you know, I think you would make a good couple with that person. And then it begins, is that really true?
Yeah, and then they're like, a little touch. Maybe that person really likes me. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And with the, you know, that man in the Golden Gate Bridge story, like I have something to say. Like, I think it's one of my burdens sometimes that, trust me, I am not very outgoing. As you think, I'm not. Yeah, but like when it comes to meeting new people, like I'm kind of hesitant to just go up there and just like say hello. But nowadays, like really, how many people just like go to supermarket or just walk in the street and be like, "Oh, hello, good morning, sir," or like "Good afternoon"? You know, who does that?
Mm.
So like, when I heard that like the man that man was waiting for just a good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he's gonna die. Because, like,
oh.
Who's gonna really say it?
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, you just pass by so many people, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, even at schools, like, you go to the same school, you might be in the same grade, but you guys just pass by and then never get to know each other the whole, you know?
Yeah.
Every
years.
Opportunity is very important
yeah.
in the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, like you going up to a unknown person, and then be like, hello or good morning, like it's really hard to do that. Like, okay, you might be able to do that to adults because they're just kind of adults, they're a little bit mature. But like if you do that at school, they're going to look at you weird, what a freak,
yeah.
or like what a, you know, loser or something
like
that.
I don't even know that.
Yeah,
person.
Why?
Yeah.
It's like, why do they do that, you know? So it's like how we are so, you know, closed up in
mm-hmm.
inside of us, and like even though just like that man was yearning for that, you know, little like comfort or warmness in
mm-hmm.
people, like I think as a Christians we really need to, you know, careful what we say, and then, you know, sometimes like showing a little bit of warmth and just when we like walk and when we on walks, like just like saying hello, I think
yeah.
then, you know, you never know, that could save a person
mm-hmm.
really
yeah.
And I remember, like, I have another funny story, but
mm-hmm.
in Korea, a lot of people, they don't really say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in America, at least, we say, like, good morning, or how are you? But in Korea, I heard in public, no one really says that unless you know the person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then there was a lady I knew who,
mm-hmm.
She was at the hotel in Korea, and she was riding the elevator, and then a Korean man walked in, and she was, like, smiling. She said, good morning,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the guy looked at her weird, and then he didn't say anything, and she was just like smiling at him and stuff like that. And when they left the elevator, there was like some man following her, and
mm-hmm.
she's like, oh, who is that? And she asked the person, oh, do you know me or anything? And it was a policeman. And what happened was the guy in the elevator thought she was like some weird woman.
Oh.
Like a stalker
or
something. And so she was like,
wow.
Yeah, but that's how bad it is. But, you know, I don't think there's any harm to being friendly. And even,
no.
you know, sometimes my dad is a very friendly person. He's one of the people who, if you go to a restaurant, he always starts a conversation with the waitress or waiter. And I always used to get really embarrassed by that. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's just have our thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
don't, like, try to, like, budget, or uh-huh. even at, like, we went to the post office, uh-huh. and our main purpose was to get stamps, uh-huh. and we ended up staying there for half an hour, because he was talking to the lady, and then, you know, I was sometimes embarrassed by that, but uh-huh. then, when I started, you know, working for God, I really mm-hmm. realized how, you know, that actually is a good way mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. get contact and to really open up to people. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of see it like admirable. Mm-hmm. Back then I used to be so embarrassed. Like
I understand.
Especially in the cities. I remember when I went to Manhattan, mm-hmm. New York. And like I realized that in the cities, people are so busy doing their own things. People are so, you know, closed up in their own world kind of thing. They don't even know who passes by. They don't, mm-hmm. I haven't seen anyone say hi or how are you in New York.
That would be weird.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
If you go to the subway, they usually have people just listening to their music or minding their own mm-hmm. business, mm-hmm. usually a lot of times. And I realized that in the cities where, you know, there's a lot of people, actually, it's kind of funny how a lot more people, it seems like, they don't converse. Mm.
But going back to, you know, the theme of how words are actually influential. Mm. You may have heard of an experiment done where people, they take rice, and one rice they'll label good or nice or whatever, and another rice jar, they'll label it evil and bad or whatever, negative. And they take this rice to everybody. And the task was that they were to go around, and every time that they get opportunity, they yell at the bad rice. You know, they yell at it, say, you're ugly, you're whatever. You're so, and say anything negative. Mm-hmm. And to the good rice, they say, oh, you're so cute, you're so pretty, you look so good, I want to eat you, whatever. You know? And they'll say everything good to this rice. And then after about a month, a few weeks go by, they later compare the results. And every single one of them, there seems to be a difference, where the good rice seems to have mold that is white and clear, and they say it smelled a lot more better.
Funky.
Yeah. But then they look at the bad rice, and the mold is dark and black, and it's ugly, and it smells bad.
It's the stench.
Uh-huh. Really? And
rice have ears?
Well, that got me thinking. What if I spoke to them in Spanish? What if I spoke it in English? You know, what does rice understand
the
Korean?
Language?
Or no, I think it actually has to do with the emotion and the tone that we actually place within it, and which actually reminds me, I believe that we do carry an atmosphere around us. Mm. Have you ever been in a room and somebody else walks in, and immediately that person didn't say a word, but immediately the atmosphere is just dark. Mm. And it's like everybody's just silent. Something's with that person. You know what I'm talking about. They didn't say a word,
yes.
But then they carry that atmosphere around them. I think that is true. And I think it's that atmosphere that does give an influence. And ultimately, I think what words are is just a reflection of what's taking place in your mind. So if you have a corrupt mind, then corrupt words will come out. But also, the opposite can be true. If you have corrupt words, that'll also corrupt your inside as well.
Mm.
And the atmosphere will actually testify to it.
Even I think, I don't know if people really notice this, but when we see the word nice, even like people who don't know that language, like they say they can't read English and they see nice and bad, they won't be able to tell the difference, because for us who's been using that language and we know that nice is something good, nice is something that's, you know, brightens your mood and stuff like that. When they actually see it, the word nice, it's better than looking at bad.
Mm.
Like, it's just alphabets, you know, placed around and stuff. But when we actually look at the form of the word, because we know what it is, it changes how we look at it.
Mm. Yeah.
And I really think, you know, sometimes even I would do this where I just blurt out stuff without really meaning it, but sometimes it would actually end up hurting someone. And it's like, it just comes out sometimes. And that's why, you know, they always say, like, you should think before you speak. Mm-hmm. And I think as Christians, we really have to really consider what is in our mind and really control our thoughts so that we won't make a mistake like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, mm-hmm. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I'm saying, in as Christians, if you take that verse and if you really take it in, and then if you really have, it says, like, you know, if we really keep our hearts, minds through Christ Jesus, then those words or those, you know, like, attitudes should never come out. But, like, as a Christian, it's something that I really need to work on. Like, as at the beginning, if we watch True Talk, then, like, I guess I'm just kind of like this, or, like, I kind of look, you know, like, mad and stuff. Like, Pastor Kang was, like, saying, you know, oh, Hee-joo, you kind of look mad while you're filming True Talk and stuff. So you should, like, you know, really careful about, you know, your countenance and, like, you know, the how the tones, how I speak and stuff. And, like, it's something, like, I really need to work on, I think. Or, you know, as young people, as young myself, I think we do things really rash and then really, you know, without thinking very much. Like, so I think it's something we really need to, like, pray about. And, you know, if we always contemplate our mind in Christ Jesus, then, you know, the mistakes that we make could be less. And, you know, those mistakes could be changing other people's lives, or, you know, it could be very dangerous, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think I've come to realize while growing as a Christian that for me personally, and I'm pretty sure this is for a lot of young people, the hardest thing to do is controlling our thoughts mm-hmm. and what's in our mind. Mm-hmm. Really, sometimes I really notice and can say from personal experience that if I don't do daily devotion, mm-hmm. let's say in the morning, like, my thoughts are just, like, so random and so unholy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And really, if I can understand why the Bible says that we should hide God's word in our hearts, mm-hmm. because what's in our hearts is in our mind, mm-hmm. and that we can always, like, keep ourselves back on track. But I think really, if we have the wrong thoughts from the beginning, mm-hmm. then it's just natural for the words to come out in a inappropriate tone or in inappropriate words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard of a pastor who was off duty. It wasn't
off duty.
Yeah, he wasn't preaching, but then he was going around in his church, and he tripped over something, and he says, "Oh, beep!" said a four-letter word that shouldn't have come out, and somebody who was next to him, you know, saw that, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. It was an accident that shouldn't have come out, and I'm sorry that you had to hear it." But in reality, I think that's not an excuse, because, you know, like what you were saying, what's in the mind ultimately comes out. If you mm-hmm. fill your mind with profane things, and which, by the way, if you listen to a lot of profanity, if you watch programs that contain a lot of profanity, those things are the things that are actually going to come out. Yes. And so in the moment of when you're not thinking, in the time that it's just abruptly and just comes out right there, it's going to come out. Yes. What's in your heart is going to come out.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think we can also include, when we're talking about negative language and how negative language affects us, we should also consider profanity as well.
Mm-hmm. In many cases these days, since I've been to high school before, it has become, the words we use these days has, like, all the profanities and all the bad words has become kind of immune to our language, mm-hmm. our sentences. So we could say it really without being noticed, mm-hmm. that it is a bad word or it is something that you shouldn't say in public. I think what helps is people should, I think, start listening to their friends or listening to themselves even. Just count how many bad words you actually use. Mm-hmm. And I think you come to realize that we do use those mm-hmm. profane words constantly.
And I want to point out that, you know, I have a lot of friends who, I think everyone in this world knows that curse words aren't good words to use. Mm-hmm. I think everyone knows that. And I have friends who know that, oh, this word is bad. So, but instead they would kind of use a substitute, like, you know, instead of saying like a bad word, they might be like, oh, shoot, or like, oh my goodness. But,
yeah.
And it's like, but it's like,
dang.
Yeah, it's in the same concept though.
Yeah, I do agree.
Is oops a substitution? No, right?
No, oops, it wouldn't be. But you know, it's like somebody may say, oh, come on, what the heck? You know, you're not saying, oh, what the hell, which a lot of people would consider to be, hey, you're cursing, but then you may say, hey, what the heck, and it's meant that word heck was made. As a substitution for the original language, but uh-huh. then it's still used in the same line.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, no four-letter words is actually harmful. It's a thought that goes behind it. And so if you're carrying the same thought behind it, hey, it's still just as bad.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, oh my gosh. This is a burden of my own as well, but then whenever I hear... I don't watch TV anymore, so I'm a lot more sensitive to this now. When I hear TV programs and people say, excuse me, just as an example, I say, oh my God. We don't think anything bad about it. The world doesn't anyways, but then, hey, the Bible, the Ten Commandments tell us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, in Christian worlds, I've heard many substitutes where they say, oh my gosh. Or they'll say, geez, come on, back off. Whereas these are actually meant to be substitute words for the name of the Most High God and using it in a common form.
Mm-hmm.
I think we, as Christians, even though technically we're not breaking the law, we should still refrain ourselves from using those words as well.
Yeah, and I want to mention that, like, you know, I'm pretty sure we all have, like, nice people friends, like, you know, who are nice people. But, you know, sometimes, like, they might use, you know, like very not pretty words. And then, like, I think we're not saying, like, oh, if you are, like, if you speak these languages, you're bad people. I think you can still be nice, but you can use, have a dirty tongue, but dirty lips, or something like that.
Because it has become some kind of habit.
Or trend. Trend or culture.
It's cool.
Yeah, our culture. And, like, I have never seen, it never failed, like you said, about TV, watching certain programs and listening to, like, music or that has that kind of words. Like, there was never a person who would not use that language or, like, who doesn't, you know, truly think that, oh, in the front, you know, like, if you don't know the person well, okay, they could be nice, they could be not using the words, but, like, you know, in the end, if you really know, get to know that person, you know, they're definitely using it, they definitely have that in their mm-hmm. mind. So, like, you know, if you want to be nice people and if you want to be a good Christian, then I think it's something that you really need to fix. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are so many words out there.
Mm.
You know, it's not like you are restricted to a certain amount of words to express your feelings.
Mm.
There are a lot of words
out
there.
Yes, and I remember, even including myself, I used to say the F word many times when I was young. not young, like high school. Because I picked up on the friends
that's
of
like last year.
No, not senior, but like, you know, like 3-2 years ago. Uh-huh. That used to be my language and people would use it and you would think it's cool and you know, you demand respect, I wanna be cool and you know, everyone speaks like that. So I'll keep using that. And not only using that but making that my vocab mm-hmm. of describing things or like using it in different tenses and not just the noun, make it into a verb and make it into adjective. You know, really, that's what it is. And everyone does that. And you would have that word, like in single sentence, you could use that like 3-4 times. And that was how horrible it was with that language.
You know, it becomes a habit. It really does.
And
when we think of these, what we speak in our language in light of the Christian world, we think these four-letter words are actually bad. But I want to show you another text in Matthew chapter 5 that came into remembrance when we were talking about this. Matthew 5:22. I just want to focus on the second part, but for the context, we'll read the whole verse. All right, verse 22, it says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And this is the part that I want to focus on. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire."
Oh.
Now, I take it to mean that the word Raka was used as a curse word in that time period. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, if you call somebody this name, you'll be in danger of council. You may go to jail for this, but guess what? You call somebody a fool, you call somebody stupid, you're in danger of hellfire. So it's not even like curse words. We may joke around to our friends and say, "Ah, come on, you're so stupid."
Nicknames too, dumb butt.
among many other nicknames.
Anyways.
And he says, Jesus says, you know, you may not necessarily go to jail for it, and you may not necessarily be technically breaking the law, but in reality, you're actually in danger of hellfire from doing this.
And really, you know, there's some people who think like, say you give them a nickname, and then there's two possibilities. Either they just like laugh it off, but inside they really are really hurt about that name, or two, they never thought of that name, but then, because people keep calling them that, they end up becoming like living up to that name, or degrading into that name.
Yes.
And it really is dangerous how we use words in our life.
I know. Okay, so, and like we really need to control and think before we speak. And even it could be a joke, like, you know, nicknames and stuff. Like, I used to my brother, like, I used to call nicknames, and he used to call me nicknames and stuff. But, like, for young people, we really need to think before we speak. If we go to James chapter 1, it says in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness an engrafted word which is able to save your souls." So I think this is a very important verse for, you know, us. And just want to remind.
And one more time out where, you know, words, I just want to like emphasize one more time that people tend to think, oh, okay, actions are more important than words. But the words cause the action. So what I want to say, in other words, is that words are influential, but so is the tone of how you say it. But ultimately, what's in your mind is very important.
Yes.
What's in your heart, the desire that's in your heart, that's what causes all of these things. And, you know, Satan can take advantage of what we say or the tone we use, and he can make it to actually, if you're a Christian and let's say you say something and you didn't mean it in that way, but your tone came out like that, then Satan can use that to make another person think, oh, I never want to do anything with Christianity. It could basically, instead of saving a soul, you kind of lost a soul.
Especially when Christians use those words too. I think that's what you were kind of saying, right?
Yeah, like it's, we have to live up to our standard.
Yes.
Yeah.
One more thing that I want to add to the list of top 10 bad things to do or say. Yes, we have profanity. Yes, we have substitute profane languages. Yes, we may have...
Unpolite words.
Yeah, unpolite words, but also taking the name of God in vain, which also, you know, we mentioned substitute, but even substitute for God's name. One more thing that I think we should add to that list is, well, let me just show you Matthew chapter 5. Okay, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 33. Again, ye have heard it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's stone, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. Now, have you ever heard anybody say, you know, if I only had this opportunity, I swear I would have done this. I know of one individual in college when I was studying to be a missionary, not even one individual, there are actually many people who, when they say something, no matter what, people took them for their word. Like, they would ask them and say, hey, did so-and-so actually do this or say this? And if, whatever they said, they would take their word for it. The reason why they trusted that person's word so much was because they never had to say, I swear this is true. Because whenever it's they, whatever said that they said, yes, it was always yes. If they said no, it was always no. And so whenever we have to confirm and say, hey, you know what? Everything that I said up to now, they could have been false, but this one, I swear, this is true.
But, you know, there are in cases, like, when you really didn't know the person very well, and, like, you think that person did something, but the person says, I swear I did it, you know? But like there wasn't really chance to, you know, for you to know, oh, if this person is honest or not. So what about that case?
I think even as Christians, our yea should be yea and our nay should be nay. We should say, you know, if we really do anything more than that, Bible Jesus says it comes evil.
Yeah.
And so we really should let our yeas be yea and our nays be nay.
But okay, not just to argue, but there are some cases like, I don't know what's in English, but in Korean, 억울해, you know? Like,
like very,
see, there's some words, no, yeah. Like, there's, you know, like, when you're, like, so desperate to let them know that this is not you who did it.
Misunderstanding,
but then, like, they don't really believe in you, or, like, and then you're just, like, you know, so desperate or whatever, like, then, like, you know, people might say, no, I swear, to, like, even to the full extent to show that you are truly saying the honest things, like, you know, and you're saying, even if, like, oh, if they don't believe you, even if, like, you get harmed, you're saying we should not still swear.
Yeah, I think it's something that we really shouldn't get into. Others will know. Not because of one incident or one good deed or bad deed. I know of one individual who has said the character is not discerned by occasional misdeeds or occasional good deeds or occasional misdeeds, but the continual habitual acts. And so even it may be that one time that they may misunderstand you, you have the rest of your life to show them that, hey, what you actually say, you're genuine and it's true, that you don't lie.
And so, you know, I want to also say, I know some people who know that swearing isn't good, so they say, like, I promise I am right, or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's, like, the same meaning.
Mm-hmm. Substitute?
Yeah, substitute for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when we are thinking about how words actually affect us, just recapping everything that we've talked about, the words itself may affect other people, and we know that it does. You've heard the term, you've heard somebody say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's That's the most.
He almost said
careful.
It.
I don't want to say the person, but then the term is the most foolish thing that we could probably say.
Uh-huh.
I'll say it is the most stupidest thing that I've heard of, because we know that it's not true. We know that, sticks and stones may break my bones, but guess what? Words will actually hurt you even more than physical pain. And so when we are talking about words, how it influences other people, yes, it does influence other people, but then more than that, it actually influences the person who actually says it. What we say, even though we might not even believe it, may become true in our own minds, or the opposite can also be true, where what is ultimately in our minds and hearts actually comes out through our words as well. That's why, of course, James does say, whoever can control the tongue can control the whole body. But then when we are thinking about what we actually say, some of the things that we already talked about, profane languages, these four-letter words that we know that no Christian lips should ever utter. Not that the words ourselves is bad, it's just that the thought behind it is bad. So carrying together with that, substitute profane languages. Mm. What the heck?
Jeez. Oh my gosh.
Well, those I would consider into a third category, which are not taking the name of God in vain. Mm. We should be reverent with the name of God. Mm. The people who wrote the Bible, they didn't even write down his full name because they recognized that he is such a holy God and his name could not even be put down on paper. Mm. But included with that, of course, are substitute God languages like geez and gosh, things like that. But also we include, included finally, swearing. I swear this is true. We as Christians should refrain from things like that because not only does it affect other people, but it also affects us. Mm. I just want to close with one text in Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. Jesus says this, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Everything that we say, whether it be good or bad, will have a consequence, not only in this world, but then Jesus says, every idle word that we speak in this world will have a consequence even in the eternal world as well. And we'll have to give an account for these words that we actually speak. And as Christians, we may technically obey the law in the letter by not uttering four-letter words, but we need to go the second mile and say, even swearing substitutes we will refrain from. Mm. So let's let that be our prayer, and throughout the week, let's see how we can edify one another with our speech.